Hey, dude, what's your favorite game with a 5 in the title? You see my Twitter poll?
Yeah, didn't you see my response? I very cleverly said NFL 2K5.
Yeah, that was funny, but like really though.
Hmm.
You're a funny guy. Although Garnet Lee was the funniest because he said 50 Cent Blood and Sand. That's pretty good.
That was a good answer.
That's pretty funny.
I'm trying to think like... Because you said Final Fantasy V. I mean, I haven't played a lot of games with 5. I've played Mega Man 5.
What else? I mean, you played some of Gears 5 or...
Yeah, Gears 5 is in there. Final Fantasy 15, I guess, would count.
Let's say that I also mean the games that are, like, in some way the fifth entry in their series also.
Right.
Yeah, you could be Mega Man X5. That's fine. A lot of people said Grand Theft Auto 5, which was such a... I don't even know what this word means anymore, so I assume that it's bad and I don't like it, but it's a simp answer, isn't it? Grand Theft Auto 5. Speaking of Grand Theft Auto 5, we can transition to that after the our intro. So play that song.
Okay.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast for June 12th, 2020. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ash Guy.
Hello.
Yeah, we have some big things to talk about for a change with the big PlayStation 5 event.
It's what should have been E3.
Yeah, I mean, literally, like, this is the one thing that feels like, oh, this is just the stuff they would have had at E3.
Right.
Which is really cool. So, yeah, we'll get right into that, I guess, then.
We're talking about Sony, I guess we should say, if you somehow didn't know.
Yeah, Sony's big PlayStation 5 reveal happened. The very beginning was like, so first, you know, I had this montage, and the very first thing they talked about was like Grand Theft Auto 5, which like...
They did this because it was the only time they didn't have footage of it running on PS5. And so like he's like when, what's his name? What's the guy's name? The new guy that we see now?
I don't know. I don't remember his name.
The Sony guy. I don't know.
I don't know.
He made a point to say after this, like, everything else you're seeing from now on is, like, PS5, like, hardware running games. So,
yeah.
Like,
it was just, like, a little weird because I'm, like, it seemed to set, like, a weird tone because, like, going into it, my expectations were high. And then I'm, like, oh, maybe, like, this isn't going to be that big of a deal.
Right. Maybe it was perfect because it lowered your expectations.
Right. And, I mean, I get why they're doing it, of course. Final Fantasy. Grand Theft Auto 5 is,
still a big deal.
Still a bizarrely big deal. Like,
you know, I haven't played a second of GTA 5. I own it on Xbox.
It's fine. I played it. I beat it.
I'm on PC too.
Right.
They gave it for free on Epic Games Store. I keep forgetting
it's
that.
It's all right. I mean, I've never been a giant Grand Theft Auto guy anyways, but like,
right.
I couldn't tell you why this is the biggest game ever.
Online. Everyone loves GTA Online.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, all right. But yeah, so it's coming. And it's funny how, like, they have to announce that. Like, Grand Theft Auto 5 was, I think people forget, it was a 360 PlayStation 3 game.
Right? It'll be a three-generation game.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy.
But then we had our first real announcement, and this really surprised me, Spider-Man Miles Morales. And
yeah.
They said Holiday 2020, which to me is, like, basically how they can say launch title, since they don't want to say when the PlayStation 5 is coming out.
Right. That's not a bad launch title.
Right. So, you know, it pretty much looks like direct sequel to the last game you play as Miles Morales as Spider-Man. What's confusing here is, like, is this a full-on sequel? Or I kind of feel like this is maybe a bit of an Uncharted Lost Legacy thing where...
Right. Like, I mean, it looks like there's obviously going to be some graphical improvements. And we know for a while they've been using Spider-Man as kind of the demonstration of their hard drive speeds, like you know, fast traveling instantly without those little subway interludes and stuff like that. Like, to look at the screenshots, I was kind of looking at the 4K screenshots put out, like, it looks like there's ray tracing in his eyes and stuff like that. So obviously, you know, they've tiled up the graphics and stuff.
I don't even mean tech. I just mean, like, in terms of, like, could you really make, like, the sequel to that last Spider-Man game in 2 years?
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it's the same New York City map.
Well, I'm sure that would save a lot of time. But, like, is this going to be a quote-unquote full game?
I think it will. I think it'll still, like, it'll be almost as long as the other Spider-Man. Like I said, when you're not creating that city from scratch and you're using a lot of those assets, I think that saves you a lot of work. I mean,
yeah.
I'm trying to think, like so you think Uncharted, your Uncharted analogy is good, but I'm trying to think if there's one that's even, like, a little closer where it's like you just kind of remix a game and still make another game out of it.
Well, that would be like Far Cry Primal, but, like, because that, didn't that technically use the same map from Far Cry 4?
Everyone's, oh, really?
Yeah, in a weird way. Like, the geometry was the same anyway. Huh. Something bizarre like that. So, yeah, I guess I tell you what, I'm sure it's going to be a $60 game. I'm sure. Oh,
yeah, it'll be good. Like, it's not like it's going to be, I don't think it's going to feel like cheap or anything. Yeah, I think,
but
it's,
like, again,
really,
it wasn't, like, in my mind, like, this was, like, the next year thing. So that this is coming, yeah, already is really, especially because, and we'll find out later, Insomniac's busy with something else. So,
right.
Kind of
right.
Bizarre. So, but yeah, I think that, I'm really excited. But I loved the Insomniac's Spider-Man game on PlayStation 4. So I actually just watched the video yesterday. It was just like it ranked every single Spider-Man game, which was fun. So, but yeah, I'm totally just
in more kind of misses than hits in that, that lineup.
Oh, yeah. But it was fun. But yeah, I'm totally down for just, you know, some more of that. So that was Gran Turismo 7, which never been my thing, but, you know, it's good. It's coming.
It's funny because, like, since I've gotten into Forza, I'm like, well, maybe I like GT now. And I tried the last one a little bit and still didn't do it for me. I mean, it looks incredible.
Everybody said that GT has been kind of like going downhill since about the time you got into Forza. So
that figures, yeah.
Like, the Gran Turismos everybody liked were like 2 and 3, I think. Right. Maybe 4. But, like, yeah, I know that.
It always seemed to me, like more so than Forza, this game really wants you to, like, get in there, sort of like adjusting gear ratios and tightening bolts and stuff. And Forza has that, but it never crams it down your throat.
Yeah, I mean, if both games, even Gran Turismo, would be a bit more. It's a car game for people who really like cars. I do not like cars that much.
Right, I like racing, but I don't necessarily cars. If that makes sense,
I don't even like racing that much. I was just thinking about this, like, that's like a genre that, like, I'll tell you right now, Mario Kart, I like Mario Kart. I do not like Mario Kart as much as everybody else. Just racing in general, not really the most fun thing in the world to me.
If you say so.
Yeah. But anyways, next after that, I thought this was maybe the highlight of the whole thing, is the Ratchet and Clank game, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, again, Insomniac. This looks really cool. Like, the whole kind of,
this blew me away.
Right. And the whole kind of gimmick to this one is that they're like portals will just kind of open up and, like, send you to completely different places. And it's kind of a good showcase of, like, the fast loading times. Like, there's a bit of a buffer between, like, you go from one portal and you're in one world and then to another.
But it's like a second.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
It's pretty dramatic, like the first portal they go through, because, like, they're in this, like, prehistoric jungle and then just pop into this, like, purple neon city of the future. Like, it's such a contrast that it's really hammering home, like, we basically just loaded a new level in, like, a second while you were falling through a portal. And then they do it, like, 3 more times. Like, because, you know, the thing that Sony's really been hammering is these fast SSDs inside the PS5. I almost said PS4. It's weird to see PS5s now.
Yeah. But,
yeah, and you know, academically, you're like, okay, yeah, cool. Like shorter loading times. Yeah, Spider-Man, I don't have to watch him ride the subway. I just pop up somewhere. That'll be great. How convenient. And this is, like, a very good practical demonstration of how a game is using this for gameplay to do something you could not do before.
Right. Because, I mean, a lot of these games, just from watching on this video, it's hard to, like, this would be like, that looks a lot better than a PlayStation 4 Pro game. Maybe you could see some better lighting and just maybe a little bit more happening on the screen. But this was the one that was the most like, oh, yeah, this, there's something kind of next-gen-y about this.
Right.
So, and I mean, because, you know, that last Ratchet & Clank game, the one just called Ratchet & Clank, was really good, but because it was kind of a movie tie-in game, it wasn't super ambitious necessarily, so I love that they can maybe...
It was a very safe game, yeah, I know what you mean.
So I love that maybe they can kind of go nuts, sort of like what they did with A Crack in Time, which was a fantastic game. That was, like, one of the best PlayStation 3 games, so, yeah, I'm really excited for this. After that, Project Athia, which is from Square Enix, PlayStation 5 exclusive. This is from the same
coming
team.
Coming to PC as well.
Oh, is it? Okay, console exclusive. This is coming from the same team that made Final Fantasy 15, which is interesting. Interesting, right. Just that, to me, that they didn't have that team, like, make a Final Fantasy 16, right? Who knows when we're going to ever hear about that.
But yeah. Also, apparently Gary Whitta is like the head of the story group on this game.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks pretty neat. It looks like it's kind of a open worldy thing. I mean, it has
like,
a little
it almost
bit
looked like it was like sci-fi Tomb Raider or something.
Yeah,
like
it's a little bit like that.
I got confused because, like, you know, Square Enix, don't they publish those games now? And I was like, okay, is that what this is? No, it's not. Okay.
So yeah, something to look forward to. Stray. I wasn't paying too much attention to Stray because I was writing. Did this look cool to you?
It looked like it was a world like where robots killed all the humans and you're playing as a cat who's just exploring the world. I mean, there wasn't too much more context to that, but it looked neat.
Mm-hmm. How about Returnal, which is kind of like this Edge of Tomorrow looking game?
Yeah, these are the guys who they did like Rezogun and those guys. Yeah. This is like their first time making like a AAA looking 3D game. I mean, it obviously looks like a roguelike. It's got that kind of you die, you wake up again thing. Mm-hmm. So it could be fun.
Could be fun. This was kind of surprising. Sackboy Big Adventure, which is, it looks like it's Little Big Planet, but without the whole making levels thing, which.
Right.
Like,
it's just a platformer with Sackboy, which is fine.
Which to me, I'm like,
what they should have been doing.
I prefer that.
Right?
Like, I don't need to see another person make a calculator in Little Big Planet, watch a YouTube video of it, and be like, okay, cool. Like, you know? Yeah. Just give me a platformer. That's fine. Then we can all learn Sackboy. We'll know Sackboy.
Yes, finally.
Destruction All-Stars. This was kind of, I don't know, looked okay. What did you think?
I kind of dig this game. So I texted you. I said, hey, look, it's a marketable Twisted Metal.
Right. That's exactly
it's like
it.
Twisted Metal by way of Overwatch. Bright, vibrant. Like, you know, everyone's blowing each other up, but like no one's like, it's not like everyone's having fun.
Yeah, I mean, that Overwatchy vibe to it almost felt a little cheapish to me, I guess.
I was kind of digging it. There's neat stuff going on with the tech where, like, cars are, like, really breaking, like you know, there's, like, a swinging pendulum axe, and it actually cut the car in that spot. It wasn't, like, a canned destruction animation or anything like that.
I guess with the failure of Crucible and even, I mean, I don't know, I feel like it's early enough to say that Killing Edge or whatever that game was from... Ninja Theory.
Oh yeah, that guy just kind of came and went too.
Right, nobody talked. I feel like it's become a little passe already to make these sort of Overwatchy things, but now it's like Twisted Metal. But look,
So I don't Speaking know. Of, you know, yesterday I put up the show we recorded kind of before you know, stuff happened in the world. So thanks everyone for kind of letting us be quiet for a bit there, but I went back to like kind of finish the edit on that episode, and I'm trying to remember, like, because I wanted to go write the show. It's like, what do we even talk about? So I'm like listening to it, and I go, oh man, we talked about Crucible in this episode. I have not thought about that game at all.
Those were our hot takes on Crucible, which wasn't awful. I'm not talking about Crucible now. Okay, Kena, I don't know. Bridge of Spirits. This is kind of neat looking. This
looked incredible. Like, just visually, it looked insane.
This had some cameo vibes for me.
Yes! I thought the same thing for a little bit.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, like, more cartoony, almost that DreamWorky, Pixar-y thing. Like, you know, you're in a fairy tale forest, like, action-adventure game.
It looked like an action-adventure game with some Pikmin elements.
Then we had Goodbye Volcano High. This is like a narrative game, which kind of has like
this looks like a game AJ will not be playing.
No, I mean, it's furries, right? Basically, like, let's not dance around it. Those are furries in that game.
Yeah, but they're dragons. Are they furry or scalies?
I think. Oh, is that? I mean, I don't know.
I made that up.
Concerned.
I don't know if that's a real thing.
I hope that's not a real thing because I don't know how much you know. Oddworld Soulstorm. Now, the weird thing to me about this is that they presented it like it's new, and apparently, like, a lot of people did not know that this game was already announced. I played this game last year.
I had no idea. I don't know if you told me and I forgot or what.
Right, but this is the new Oddworld game. Maybe I was just on some NDA. It didn't realize, like, it wasn't announced, but, like, I played this game. It's good.
Oddworld is one of those things, like, I like it more than I do, you know what I mean?
Like the idea of it. Yeah, sure.
Right. So, like, I keep waiting for one to be like, oh, this is finally working now. So maybe this is it.
Yeah. I think it'd be cool. Ghostwire Tokyo. I don't know. I didn't have super strong thoughts about this.
Yeah, it was like a kind of like a weird sort of shooter in an open worldish Tokyo with ghosts.
See, it was weird because, like, this whole section here was like a lot of more, like, smaller games, and that's fine. But I was beginning to feel like, right. Oh, the hype is over. That's it. We're winding down
Ratchet
already.
Ratchet and Clank
like
was maybe too strong for where it was.
Yeah.
Nothing else matched it for a while here.
Yeah, Jet like was fine. Other explore planets kind of thing. Godfall, we had Salt. That was like that first PlayStation 5 game they ever announced.
Yeah,
right?
The this Gearbox is the, thing.
Yeah, not a big fan of that, really. Solar Ash, Mad. What? I don't even remember this. Do you?
Oh, this is the guys did Hyper Light Drifter.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I know what that is.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden we had like Hitman 3 out of nowhere. Yeah. And that's pretty
in
cool.
January, very specifically.
Yeah. And that's awesome. The new Hitman games are great. Have you played much of them?
Not really. I need to. I think I have the first one from Game Pass or something, so I probably should try it.
They're super fun. So I'm super down for that. And this one was a really cool surprise. Astro's Playroom, which looks like a kind of sequel to Astrobot Rescue Mission.
Yeah, I'm confused because in the text it says that it's pre-installed in every PS5, so it has people thinking maybe it's just like a little mini thing that just kind of shows off the new PS5 controller, so I mean, it's not like going to be a full-blown game.
I mean, maybe it won't be like full. I think it's going to be a game. I think they would have been a little bit more upfront about it being like a tech demo or whatever. Not
yeah,
tech
I don't
demo.
Know. I don't know.
But I think it's going to
it
be
it looked
a
cool.
Game.
I like Astrobot. So.
Oh, I love Astrobot. But, I mean, we saw it. There was platforming. I don't think it's just going to be, like, a 30-minute experience or something like that.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah.
We're getting it, I guess, if it's pre-installed.
Yeah. Little Devil Inside. Don't
this
really...
looked cool.
What was this?
I thought this I game was, looked... This is the one...
I was probably like, writing about Astro's Playroom at this point.
They had this really cool art style. It was like, this guy was, like, going on, like, fighting all these horrible monsters, like, for some guy who was paying him. It would cut back and forth, like, this guy, like, barely surviving in the wilderness and this little guy like taking a bath and eating dinner.
Yeah.
But it looked really rad. I thought the whole style of it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks pretty interesting. And then NBA 2K21. It's a basketball
game. The sweat,
game.
Mike. The sweat.
Oh my god! That
so much
Xbox
better.
360.
Remember when the 360 came out? You put on NBA and like there was literally that mode where it's like it zoomed in so you could see the one bead of sweat go down the guy's face.
We're like, woo! Finally, the one we've been waiting for. Bug Snacks.
I got a little distracted by my kids during this one, but it really wasn't doing anything for me.
But the song was great.
I didn't even notice the song, I guess.
The song was good. It was about how bugs are snacks or something like that.
Oh. Also, I thought like the graphics didn't even look that great.
No, the graphics look awful, but yeah. it's a game called Bug Snacks.
Okay.
So it's not that, I don't know. Hey, they're remaking Demon's Souls.
Yeah, they look pretty wild.
Yeah, and it's the Blue Point, the guys that did.
They do a lot of remakes.
Yeah, specifically the.
They did Shadow of the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus. So this would be cool. I like I probably play more Demon's Souls than I did of any of the Dark Souls games.
I never played Demon's Souls at all.
I played it when it came out, and I liked it a bit, but I didn't quite grok it enough to like get super far. Now that every game is kind of like Demon's Souls, if I go back to it, I think I could do better. But it looks really good, so I think that's super neat. Deathloop. This is Arcane. Yeah, this is Arcane. Obviously, it like seems to be kind of in the style of their Dishonored games. But it's more of like assassins taking down each other. It's not quite as steampunky and all that stuff. So yeah,
didn't this
be
get announced before? Again, this one felt familiar to me. The whole thing like there's the other girl who's also hunting you.
I don't believe so, but I could be wrong. But no, I think
I don't know why that seemed familiar. But who knows?
I think you're
this
wrong.
This is, I believe, a timed PS5 exclusive.
Yes, so I think you're right there. Another big third-party announcement, Resident Evil 8 Village, because, of course, we have to, like, find a way to sneak the Roman numerals into the
Mike,
subtitle.
Have you gone into Photoshop and put Villager into, like, the Resident Evil 8 poster yet? Because I feel like that's the obvious joke.
That'd be funny, yeah, right?
Resident Evil 8 Villager. Come on. Do that tomorrow.
All right, look, I was going to let it go. It's not that clever. Stop it.
Come on.
It's not that funny. No.
So, of course, this is the part of the show where my children decided to wander into the room.
Oh, nice.
And I'm like, guys, you need to leave. This is not a good game for kids. No, we want to see it. Guys, I need you to leave the room. Please listen to me. No, it's not scary. And then it was like the end where he just like Chris Redfield starts shooting some woman. and they like both like just froze in fear. I'm like, get out of the room. And they're like, they shot that woman. I'm like, oh good lord, no, I don't want to deal with this right now.
Yeah, yeah. We all have.
I told them
like
it was a zombie.
Up.
It's okay.
That's a formulative experience, Edge guy. It's good.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. But this looks like a pretty direct sequel to Resident Evil 7, which I...
Yeah, it's a few years later, I guess.
First person, like, still.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Redfield shows up. I swear that they make him look different in every game somehow.
Right? Like, he's not, like, recognizable.
No. Pragmata. This is another Capcom thing that looks kind of...
I thought it was Dead Space for a second.
It looks like the
helmet looked Dead Spacey.
It looks like Dead Space meets Death Stranding almost.
Yeah.
It's hard, hard to get any idea what it really is going to be like.
This was Capcom, right?
Yeah, Capcom. Then we all thought it was coming. Here it was, Horizon 2 Forbidden West. Which
looks real good.
Looks really, really good. It's real smooth. Looks like it's kind of more like a destroyed San Francisco area, which is neat. But yeah, I mean, it looks like more Horizon, which I'm super down for. It just looks better. Now they did not say holiday for this game, so I think the hopes that this would be a launch title are kind of dashed.
Yeah, no date was attached, so yeah. It's a little ways off. But yeah, this looked freaking stunning. It looks so damn good.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. So pretty excited for that. And then we got to see the actual system. Which
I had my doubts about.
Yeah, me too. But I love the way it looks. I think that video game consoles look so boring and bland now, and this is the complete opposite of that. This is wild.
It takes a second because you they showed. So there's two SKUs, which we didn't know was going to be a thing. The first one they showed is one with the disc drive, so it's like not symmetrical. It's like this weird like growth on the side of it, and I was like, that's interesting. And then they show the discless version soon. I like the way the discless one looks better just because it's symmetrical.
Now see, I don't mind the asymmetry of the disc one. I think it's cool.
I feel like that would bother me.
No, I love it. It's great.
Also,
it's different.
Someone did take they took photos of the Series X and used the disc drive as kind of the common denominator to get an idea of relative sizes. This thing is huge.
Yeah.
It's like a lot taller than the Series X.
Cool. I don't know. You got to get those SSDs in there. I don't know.
It was very tall. But I joked. If you actually kind of look at the silhouette, it kind of looks like a 360.
I mean, I don't know about that. A little bit.
It does. It has that like concavity to it in the center.
A little. Okay. That's what you're going. All right. Sure then.
Well, yeah. Look at the silhouette. That's what I'm saying.
I'm looking at the silhouette. You sound like a crazy person. I don't know what to tell you. Okay. I'm staring at the picture right now. It does not look that much. I mean, it has a disc drive and it's curvy in places. That's all you get for it looking like
okay.
A.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying.
All right. So let me ask you this.
And it can't stand on its side still, so it doesn't have to be vertical.
Yeah.
It can't be horizontal.
What's your thought? Are you going to get the disc drive or not?
I don't know. Probably still get a disc drive version. I mean, it depends.
What would have to be the difference in price to make you say, like, I could save the X dollars and get it without a disc drive?
If it was more than $100, if it was $100, I might talk myself. But I'll be like, oh, I need the disc drive. If it was more than that, then I'd be like, eh, whatever.
See, my thought is, again, if it's like less than $100, I'd go back and forth. I'm going to assume it's going to be $100 different. Since I'll have a Series X that does have a disc drive for movies and stuff, I really don't buy any games on discs anymore, so I'm probably good to go without.
I mean, I don't really either. I mean, God, most of them are codes anyways, but I don't know. I'm still like not fully ready to just be like, I will never need this disc drive again. I'm not quite there yet. I still want a little bit of a buffer. I'm not comfortable making that leap.
I don't think so. I think it's time. I think we're there.
You thought it was time with like the Xbox One. You're always excited for like whatever is like perceived as a technological leap. So I'm not surprised. Yeah. But I mean, I agree for you. Yeah, for you, sure. You'll be fine. I mean, I probably would be fine too without the disc drive. But I don't know. Just in case. I mean, and again, like, I guess the Xbox Series X would be the Blu-ray player anyways, but and again, even then, I don't even watch that many movies off the disc anymore, but I have enough.
Yeah, right.
I have enough of them. So, I mean, I like this a lot more than the look of the Series X, which I didn't think is a, I don't think it's a bad looking system. I think for you, it's more of a tie.
Yeah.
Because your factory and your Xbox fanboyism.
That's right. And those checks I get from Microsoft.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, right. But I think this is more, I mean, the only thing, that, no, I think like the Xbox Series X is fine. You know me, I think the controller is a little baffling to me. The controller doesn't look barely any different. Like, I love that I look at this, like, I'm looking at like the lineup of all these things, like the system, the controller, like it looks different. Like, it looks like, oh, this is the new next thing. And I still don't quite get that from Series X. Not for, like, the name doesn't like do that. Well, the look of the controller.
Because I mean, another thing that like Sony didn't go into at all today was more on their backwards compatibility strategy, where Microsoft's very front and center. I think this speaks to the goals of the two system. Even though Sony's willing to have, they said what, like 100 PS4 games will work. It's almost more like conciliatory. Like, they want this to be a generation leap, full stop. Microsoft is more interested in softening the line a bit, which is why the controller's not radically different. Why the, even though, you know, the box is a different shape, it still is recognizable in the same vein as like the Xbox One X, like a lot of the design elements. I think it's just showing the difference in philosophy between the two companies, which I find very interesting, because, you know, at the end of the day, like, a lot of these like games that we saw, like Resident Evil, Pragmata, I'm trying to think what other ones Hitman. Those are multi-plat and will probably work pretty similarly across both systems. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to get like the way there was third party disparity between the launch Xbox One and PS4. I don't think you're going to have that. Like, I don't think we're going to run into this game's running at like 1900p and this one's at, you know, 1880p. Like, we're not going to have that. Everything's just going to run pretty much the same. You know, the first party stuff is going to be where you see the differences. So,
right, and I don't think Microsoft's going to be able to compete with what we saw was the year one first party lineup. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Microsoft's going to do to compete with that.
Well, the only things we know about Microsoft are Halo Infinite and Hellblade 2. So, and it's funny. This was, you know, the first kind of PS5 event. We had that Xbox event last month. And according to what you were telling me, and I think this came from Jeff Grubb, like, it was always the plan, even when E3 was still in the cards, to still have this like event in May that was showing off kind of like AA and indie titles on the Series X as the first look, and save them like the high end AAA first party stuff, which I think is such a huge mistake. Because again, you look at, like, even aside from the fact that they weren't really gameplay, like that whole argument of the thing, nothing in that showcase, even Assassin's Creed, made me think, like, you know, this is obviously next gen. But you watch that Ratchet and Clank trailer and it's like, okay, this is a next gen game. Like, Microsoft didn't have that, and maybe they will have that next month, but I think it's really odd to not lead with that.
Right. I mean, I know that they're going to have Halo to show off, and I know they're going to have their own kind of lineup of big third party games. Like, maybe they'll get to show off Call of Duty. It's like, beyond that, I'm just like, what's it going to be? Is it like, here's that Battletoads game. It's, you know, also on Series X, of course. And, you know, here's Grounded, which is, you know, kind of this, like, I'm sure it's going to be fun, but it's kind of an ugly ass looking like survival game. Look,
they have 16 studios. One of them has got to be making something Crimson Skies related, right? Right?
Yeah. I wouldn't hold my breath.
No, come on, it's time.
I mean, they bought all these studios. I just don't know if, like, any of them is ready to be Horizon.
They bought these studios 5 years ago. When did Horizon come out? 2017. That's 3 years.
Yeah, but
I mean, in theory, they should have two or three things in the barrel ready to go.
But the other kind of weird thing is they bought a lot of like AA studios, and that almost seemed to be the goal, right?
Yeah, but I think
Double Fine's not making something like Ratchet and Clank. I mean, I don't know.
No, but like a lot of the times, the difference between a AA studio and AAA studio is budget. I mean, if you've got the team and the talent, and you just have to set your budget. You know, if Microsoft's giving you a blank check,
I don't buy that. I don't think you can suddenly give Double Fine, like the same amount of money it takes to make that Ratchet and Clank game instead of whatever the budget was for Psychonauts 2, and then suddenly Psychonauts 2 is going to look more like Ratchet and Clank.
You don't think so, really?
I think the technology and graphics...
I mean, look at Hellblade. Hellblade, that studio is tiny. They're a double-A studio, but they invest in their technology.
Ninja Theory has a lot of experience in making those kind of games. Like that, like they have always kind of made that sort of game, and I think that's why. Whenever you see an Insomniac game or a Naughty Dog game,
those guys are making like 2D side-scrolling things, and they come out with Returnal, which I think looks okay.
I'm not quite as high up on Returnal as you are.
I'm not trying to say it's easy, but I think it's a matter of that's much more a matter of resources.
See, like I don't know.
The people and the talent you get a studio for is for gameplay and design and world building, things like that.
So what? How do you explain Grounded then? Microsoft just gave them really like Obsidian, way less money. I mean, because Grounded looks worse than like the last few games Obsidian made before they were bought by Microsoft.
All right. Well, I think didn't they start that before Microsoft bought them?
I don't know.
I thought they said that.
Maybe, but even still, I mean, it was just, you know, pay them more money, make better textures and character animations, right? So I don't know. I don't think it quite goes that way.
Depends what Microsoft wants to do with that. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, this cute little survival thing. Yeah, let's pump millions of dollars into it so it looks like God of War. Like, it doesn't need to.
But if you buy
a studio, and let's just humor me and say you are making a new Crimson Skies is going to have on foot segments on par with Uncharted. Yeah, you put some money into that and you make it look good.
I mean, here's the thing that Microsoft really needs to do is they need to start establishing new franchises because they almost have none. So they do need to have these studios making those. And I hope we see like at least a couple things that can be that. That's what they really need to.
And I think they're aware of that. Like, I find it hard to believe that 5 years ago they didn't start buying all these studios to not have big games come out for their new system.
I mean, yeah, right. Like, you would think that'd be the plan. So we'll find out. Time will tell. Right. But like, maybe not time too soon. Right. That's the weird thing about it. Like, there's different things going around there. Nobody seems to think that we're going to be seeing much about Xbox Series X this month. I know they're going to have some kind of an inside Xbox thing, but that seems like it's going to be low key. And the big thing might be either in July or August, depending on who you ask right now. So
they still insist it's July.
Yeah.
Aaron Greenberg was saying that the other day in response to Jeff Grubb, actually.
Right. So Jeff was hearing August for a while, and they may have changed it.
Jeff believed that there was going to be an event in June to talk about like Project Lockhart, which would be like the Series S for a way to simplify it. And that got delayed, even though it was never announced.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think you're right. That's what he was saying. Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep track of everything at this point. But yeah, and I don't know. I just feel like it's just weird to me that Microsoft like quote unquote went first, you know?
Like, yeah, because it really doesn't feel like they did at this point.
Right, because like we were kind of joking like, oh, Sony's dragging their feet, blah, blah, blah. But then like with one show, Sony suddenly seems way ahead. Right,
yeah,
like the only thing missing now is price point and release date, which you know they can come out with whenever,
right?
And like exactly what the launch titles are, we know it's going to be some of those games. I mean, Spider-Man will probably be the launch title, like the big one from actual Sony. We know that Astro's Playroom will be there too. So it's weird. I don't know what to expect from Microsoft.
The other thing to consider too, whatever Microsoft announces, and you know, I look at like this list of these games, I'm like, yeah, like most of these are games I want to play. And I kind of scroll through this list, I'm like, $60, $60, maybe $40, $60, $60. And like, it's just kind of interesting to think like whatever Microsoft shows, it's going to be like Game Pass.
Well, whatever they show from their studio. I mean,
right.
I think they're going to show a lot
I'm
of
just
third
playing
parties.
This.
Right. No, I mean, Microsoft's definitely going to have an advantage in terms of like services.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to be enough. Maybe it is. It is. You know, it'll be interesting to see if Sony like at all has an event that tries to do more of that stuff. I still don't know if it's like, are they going to continue with PlayStation Now? Or are they going to try to brand something new, which I think would be the way to do it. I don't know.
Yeah. PS Now is weird because I think everyone still associates it with the streaming side and not the game catalog.
Yeah, I think it's
even
a
though they
hard.
Tried to like they tried to you know put like oh here's God of War, but it's only in it for 4 months, and now it's Spider Man for 4 months. So it's like, well, I bought those already when they were new.
Yeah,
because they had there was a deal like a week or so ago to get like a year of PS Now for like $42, and I was like, well, that's kind of a good price. And I looked at the whole list. I was like, there's nothing on here I would play. Like, it makes no sense to do this.
I mean, overall, I guess, you know, I just more than anything, I just think that that event was pretty spectacular. I think that did everything it needed to do. Had a good mix of first party, third party, surprises, things we were kind of expecting. Mm-hmm. Very well paced. We had like
What was your favorite game of the whole thing?
I think Ratchet and Clank. That looks
pretty
great.
Yeah, me too. That blew me away.
That looks fantastic. I can't wait for that. So,
No Knack 3.
No Knack 3. Yeah, that's, I mean,
alas.
Maybe they could put Knack with, like, Jumping Flash and Cat from Gravity Rush and, like, a game of like, weird kind of platformer things that only got two games in their series.
Mike, we'll call it Epic Sony.
There we go. I like it. Ugh. All right. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Mike, you finally played Dauntless with me.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing Dauntless.
It only took the developers inviting you into the game for a virtual tour for you to finally try it after a year and a half of me begging you to install the free game I really like.
Yeah, I kind of got invited to check out like this upcoming patch.
Which just dropped today.
Oh, nice. So it was fun because they're like showing me how the game works and what's going on, what's new. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. I guess I actually do want to play this. I will say, like, that game looks a lot better in motion than it does when you're just looking at screenshots. It animates very well.
Yes, I
agree. Didn't really realize that at the time. So, but it's very fun. It's very fast paced. You get into fights really quickly. You know, it's all very satisfying. I mean, you've talked about Dauntless a lot, so I'm not going to tell people why it's good. But yeah, it's fun, and it's fun to play with you.
Oh, I finally completely. There's been this mission in my log for a year. Do like 10 hunts with a friend to get some dyes, and I finally have them.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm here for you.
Yes, but yeah, that was fun. And then we did the Overwatch anniversary events. I got some skins. Did you get some skins?
Oh, I got all the skins.
Good for you.
I'm like obsessed about these skins for some reason, even though most of them aren't really all that good.
I got all of them except for Dragon Mercy of the new ones.
Oh, I thought you meant like the weekly giveaway. No. There was a lot of good skins this time. I got the skins I wanted. I got the Wrecking Ball kind of Nautilus.
Oh, I didn't get Wrecking Ball. That's right. I forgot about that too.
And then I got the Little Red Riding Hood Ash. So I got what I needed. I got what I needed. Da,
da, da. There you go.
But yeah. I just started Jack and Daxter. That's what I was playing before this happened.
Like the first one?
Yeah, I was like, I want to play something Sony-ish. And then I'm like, I have that PlayStation 4 version of that game. I haven't played it. I mean, because I barely played that franchise at all. Which is kind of weird considering how much I like Naughty Dog and 3D platformers. So I'm like,
yeah, one is great. Two is weird because it did like the Prince of Persia thing where it got like really dark for no reason. And then three was excellent.
Three's the one everybody really likes, right?
Yeah, three was fantastic. Oh. That's cool. How are you finding them? They hold up for you? Where'd you go?
There you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I never lost you for a while.
Oh.
I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Well, anyway, I said, how are you finding the games that hold up for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's some things like, you know, it's such a cliche to like say the camera's bad in an old 3D platformer. The camera's not great. It's weird because like they patched in a way to invert the x-axis, which thank God it was driving me crazy. But like there's no way to know. You have to Google it. And it just tells you in this part of the pause menu, hold down and R3 at the same time. It'll invert the x-axis. And there's like no prompt or feedback telling you that this works. It's right. It's wacky.
What?
It's crazy, but it does. So it's like, because it's just like, was it in the original game? And they couldn't
add a menu option.
Right. They couldn't like change the user interface or anything. So they just like literally programmed this button combo will do that. And if you know, you know. But if you don't, you're right. Like, seriously. It's bizarre.
That's bizarre.
But thank God, because it was driving me crazy. And like, I literally like, when I was like, no, I can't do this with the cameras. And then like, I was looking like, can I change this? No. Then I Googled it and I found that. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Right. Like, who is supposed to know that?
I guess that's how this works.
Huh.
All righty. But yeah, that's it. That's it. What a busy week.
Well, I started Xenoblade Chronicles. I'm not far at all, so
I am very far.
A whole lot to say, but it's, you know, it looks good. It seems to be a good remaster, so that's cool. I got new headphones that I'm very excited about. These are
I'm excited just hearing about it.
I know. They're the SteelSeries Arctis 1 for Xbox wireless. The reason these are a big deal for me is, even though it says for Xbox, these are the first pair of headphones with the thing in the box that's included that works with everything that I've ever used. There's like a little USB-C dongle, and they give you a cable to adapt it to a regular USB port. So, and there's a switch on the dongle. So if you're on Xbox mode, you know, you plug it in that adapter cable into your Xbox, and boom, you have wireless sound to your Xbox, and the microphone's on there. And I have Astro A50s, the Gen 3 ones, which in theory are fantastic headphones, but no matter what I've done with my Wi-Fi setup, and this is the third router I'm on since I got those, I just get constant drops in interference, like unplayable, like no good. So I really just couldn't use them, which was really annoying. These have zero issues so far. So I use them on the Xbox. Then you just take the little USB-C dongle, just clips right into the bottom of the switch. Work great there. And then I was even though I'm not going to use them on my PC because I like my PC headset, I just wanted to try it, and it works great there too. So if you have everything, a Switch, a PS4, and an Xbox, and you want a wireless headset for all three, these are $100. It's like, it's an insanely good deal, and they're really, really nice. The one thing I wish it had, which I get because of the price point, like, it'd be great if it also had Bluetooth, so you could do the thing where you're like Bluetooth to your phone for like Discord or whatever while you're also connected to your console. That's like the only thing it's really missing in my estimation. But otherwise, they are, and they're comfy. Oh my gosh, they actually fit my ears like perfectly.
Wow, that's something fits disgusting your giant monster ears. Yeah,
I know, my ears are gross. So yeah.
Well, now I feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, don't be too hard on yourself, dude. Oh,
and I guess what I did with the girls today. I told you this already. I put Pokemon Go on their iPads.
There you go. Sorry you had to see a person shoot a lady to death. Here's Pokemon Go.
Yeah, no. Well, this Pokemon was before that.
So. Oh, they're still scarred.
Well, these kids crack me up. I like installed it and set up their accounts last night, and I was like, okay, I'll show this to them in the morning. And like, I'm like not even like awake yet, and they come running into the room like, Dad, did you put this on our iPads? Like, I'm like, how did you find that? So they made their characters, and so I don't understand children, man. So they both picked Squirtle of those like first three starters, you know?
Right.
I'm like, okay, cool. And then like, I'm like getting ready for the day, I'm showering and everything, I'm coming out of the bathroom, and Sophia is crying. I'm like, honey, what's wrong? She goes, I don't know where my Squirtle went. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's gone. I'm like, did you manage to push like the three or four buttons in sequence you needed to push to send it to the professor? I don't know. Oh, were you God. Just like pushing buttons without reading? Yeah, well, you deleted your Squirtle. Like, I can't do anything about it. I want him back. Like, oh, come on. Then I told them all day, I don't know when it comes up because they changed it, but some point you're going to get to pick red, blue, or yellow. Make sure you pick blue. Okay. All day, I'm like, hey, did that come up yet? No. Did that come up yet? No. All right. So this evening, they're on their iPad just kind of like looking at their Pokemon. And I see like the background of the character. I go, Sophia, why are you on the yellow team? Because I picked it. When did you do that? I don't know. Okay, cool. Livy, why are you on the red team? Like, how did this happen? Liv swears she didn't do anything. So I don't know if, like, maybe they actually haven't picked yet and it just, like, defaults you to a team. I need to, like, go to a gym with their iPads. I might actually hop in the car tonight.
Did you get Sophia a new Squirtle?
No, but we did catch a Pikachu, thank God. And she caught a Bulbasaur. She's pretty thrilled about the Bulbasaur.
Yeah, there you go.
But, If my options, if they have in fact picked these teams by mistake, are either to restart their games, which is going to be an issue, or pay $10 a kid for a team change token.
Oh, jeez.
Which is looking very likely. So great.
Yeah, that's fun. Awesome. Great. Got your money.
But it's fun. We had a great time. We went out into the center of town. Our town has kind of like a nice like village green area with a whole bunch of Pokestops and a couple gyms. So we wandered around and caught some Pokemon.
Oh, I'm glad. Were they able to like actually catching them themselves?
Oh yeah, no, they're pretty much doing it all by themselves. They seem to be enjoying it.
Good.
Yeah, it's fun.
We'll have to go hunting together sometime.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for me.
Yeah, that should do it. What a day after quite a month.
Yeah, right. So
I mean, Sony definitely did the right thing by waiting on this, but it finally having it happen today was kind of a nice like, we could talk about video games for a little while now.
Yeah.
I missed it. And yeah, this should be the E3 time, so it was kind of nice to capture some of that. A lot of that hype and excitement.
Right. Yeah, no, like today I actually like was feeling like some of that kind of E3 hype. Like, oh yes, this is all very exciting. Like it just, mm-hmm. you know, it's nice just to have a big dump. Like, you know, IGN had their thing like the other day, and there was maybe like one real notable thing, but like it was a good presentation.
I really didn't keep up with that at all.
I mean, I wasn't able to watch it, but it wasn't like, you know, there's a difference between like E3. A good presentation and like quote unquote hype.
Right.
And maybe I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but I like hype sometimes. So
yeah, here we are. Hype's fun.
Here we are. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Don't forget to check out 90s Disney. Our new episode on Indiana Jones Adventure is up. So go to 90sdisney.com or anywhere you find podcasts for that. Mm-hmm. And thanks for listening, everyone. You can find us next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.